only love. She said that we were bad.
She said that we were bad.
I thought I'd better go alone.
Step it up, girl.
Who wants to lie to the phone? Oh, girl, you look so sad.
The rain.
Well, I didn't think Derek Lewis just retired, but there we go. He's fucking done with the
getting married.
Just as he was blowing up, though.
What?
So basically, Derek Lewis is just
Derek Adams Jones Lewis.
Oh fuck me! Oh, that's a good way to start. It is, and that's the perfect way to kick it off. So I'm happy with that. If you're giving Adam Jones shit, I'm more than happy. So cheers for coming on, Reels. Yeah, we just got done watching the fights. I expected. Would you like to see Hunt retire, though? What do you reckon? I mean, I thought that was amazing.
No, if he wants to keep going, I'll watch him belt people.
But who's
that much longer?
Who's there for a fight, though?
Okay. Maybe some fun rematches, maybe. I don't know.
Entertaining.
Right.
Well, that, you know, everyone's...
Actually, if you could retire and go to Japan, I'd be happy with
actually,
that.
That's a good move.
Go back to Japan.
Get rid of the UFC, get some... Or even over to Bellator, that's where it's...
But he doesn't like steroids, so Japan's probably a good place to be.
Actually, yeah, because he's not going to get a fight. Actually, Bellator might be the place for it. But then it's only, Fedor these days.
Or, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Not really worth it. He would have fought Mitrione. They're blowing up a bit. Do you follow along with the Bellator at the moment as well?
Only what gets posted on forums and stuff. I don't really watch it.
Yeah, mate.
But I heard they're going live in Australia.
Are they?
As of their next one. Sonnen's next one.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant coming over here.
Live. No. Okay. Yeah, they're actually got a show on TV.
So we're going to broadcast well. Is that going to be a pay-per-view or are they going to sign up with Fox Sports type hookups?
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure what channel, but yeah, Sonnen, whoever he's fighting next. I've seen that this morning.
Hell yeah. That's you see much of that MVP guy as well? Do you follow him?
Just his antics. Yeah, I haven't really seen him fight. So
he's giving mad shit to Paul Daly today again. Now, I don't know what's going on with that, whether Paul Daly doesn't actually want a match with him for whatever reason. But,
It's hard to tell, man. Like, now that you can talk your way into anything...
Isn't that having a fucking lot?
People sort of hold out for the money fights. They don't want to... Yeah. They don't climb up the ladder fighting, they climb up the ladder on Twitter.
Yeah, true. Isn't that is becoming a fucking big thing. Thanks to old mate who's fucking made that sucks that every fucker's big. Yeah, you get a standout, it's just like everything, wherever, whatever the fucking field is, fighting, whatever, but you have a standout and then you have a fucking 100 sheep. And it sucks to see these fighters who are, driven good people just following suit, like, oh, that's how I get money.
It's like coming from hip hop and battle rap and stuff, I like a good shit talker.
Yeah,
and Conor's great at it, and it's amazing. But people that can't do it well, it's cringy. Like you shouldn't.
Definitely. It's just like that guy reacted because he's joking about his mum, and then he's gonna throw hands.
Yeah,
others don't quite get it.
And if you're gonna go into that world, you gotta learn how to take things and just let them go.
Yeah, you see. Look, there's been passages, and it's been before Conor, like with Chael Sonnen. He
was good.
Probably one of the. I mean, there's obviously good talkers. He was one that found him to talk his way into fights.
He took the pro wrestling blueprint.
And it was fucking amazing. Did you hear that comment that his fight with Tito and about if using your mouth to... I would butcher what he said, but he basically targeted Tito's missus. And Tito tries to respond and be like, oh, just for your information, I was never married. I'm like, say that, man. Just like, let it fucking go. That was a bit fucking brutal.
Well, you're dating... A porn star, you kind of got to expect that as well. Like, you're still leaving yourself open.
No, definitely. It's always a good thing. So, yeah, the rap battle. I followed along when you were doing them anyway, which was a fun thing. Is that something you're still interested in if it popped up, or you're done with the battle side of things?
I've been in talks with the guys who run it in Brisbane. Probably once a year it comes up.
Yeah.
I'd be keen to do it if the opponent was someone that motivated me.
Mm.
If the stage was sort of right, like a good event. I just have too much to lose. Like,
yeah.
The up-and-comers, it's like, for me to battle someone, I've got 10 years worth of stuff on the internet that can find out about me.
Yeah, true.
Super hard if there's just some random dude.
Yeah, because that is something that happens in that you do get a time, you get told who you're going to be battling.
These days, yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't used to be the case.
Never used to
be like a tournament format where you got
to... Used to be like 8 people, 16 people.
Yeah.
Names out of a hat on the spot.
And would that make it, that would make it more, a bit more, he'd be a bit more talented to...
Yeah, it made it a lot...
Have a fresh face.
You'd have to be way more talented to compete, but it wasn't as good for the crowd because you get a lot of subpar people doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas people have time to go over there, what angles they want to take, find information, they can actually put together a performance and almost like a song sort of, like, they put together a piece to present, whereas rather than just like what the guy's wearing or like jokes about a generic guy's mum that may or may not 99.9% of the time aren't true.
Like you get to throw hands like Michael.
Yeah.
See, that's what, but for someone that's a casual watching it, the insults are fun. Mm. But what's it based on? Do you have the insults or is it the bars and, you know, the smooth? I mean, because when someone's just saying things but it's not fluent,
yeah,
it just sounds terrible. But if the insult's funny enough, I'm still going to laugh.
There's a few schools of thought. Some, it's purely entertainment, so if you can make someone laugh, that's a good thing. Whereas me, coming from someone who's like not the purist or whatever,
yeah,
I prefer to see someone who can rap good. It's a rap battle, so if you can prove that you rap better, that will impress me more than the best fucking dad jokes you can come up with, and dick jokes and shit like that.
So if they can collab in, obviously, that's the best case scenario.
The people that do the best usually merge the two.
Yeah.
You've got people that do it now that are stand-up comedians and will never ever make music and have no interest in making music, but rap battle.
But they're rap battle.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Yeah, so there's... I'm so bad with names. So there's a guy that's rapping, and I thought he was more of a stand-up comedian. There's a ring a bell. I'm probably clutching at straws for you to fucking figure out who I'm talking about there. But he's not a bad rapper, but it's just all funny based comedy shit.
Lil Dicky?
Yes, it is. So I didn't have no pressure there.
Yeah, he's funny.
But yeah, so is he a stand up comedian or is he a
rapper? I don't know. He's good. He can rap as well.
Because like, he does, he raps. I mean, the bars are realistically there for what a novice like myself.
I don't know where he came from. A friend of mine showed me, and I hated it at first. I thought it was like Weird Al Yankovic sort of stuff, but.
Yeah.
He's funny. I kind of get it now. I'm not mad at it.
No, I thought he gave me a few laughs anyway, but it is still a little bit cringe.
I think that's his gimmick, like his whole thing. Like there was one song he had where the whole gimmick of the song was making a film clip cheap on the cheap, but it ended up being in a mansion with like models because he sourced all this stuff. Like he'd knocking on doors like, we need to film a rap video. Can we use your man? And like he sourced everything for free, but it ended up looking like a multi-million-dollar video.
Okay.
He has cool little like... concepts that he executes, which separates him, I think.
Yeah, like I say, I didn't know if he was from the comedy side.
Yeah, he might have come from a comedy background. I don't know.
Yeah. And what do you concentrate? I mean, you're doing a lot of producing at the moment, obviously. Yeah, and one of the biggest reasons I wanted you to come on is, and I said to people leading up to it, you're one person doesn't self flex. Like everyone will be like, I do this, I do that. A lot of people don't know what you're doing because you don't really put it out there too much. Like obviously you do websites and you post on social media stuff, but you're not one to vocalize it. I can come see you and I'll be like, hey man, what's going on? Like, what's new? But, oh, not much, blah, blah, blah. Did you see this? Did you see that? Oh, by the way, I'm top 10 on the fucking RE. You won't tell me that.
Yeah.
It comes out in amongst like, oh, actually I know that guy because me and him worked on this.
So, yeah. I think it just...
Because that's...
It's good. I think it just comes from the fact that I haven't achieved. I think I'm still going.
Of course.
Like,
which is going to keep...
I like, yeah, so... That's... I do so much, like, I'm a sign writer for a living, which I like, train jiu-jitsu as much as possible, which I love, music, which I love, social life, family life.
And you juggle.
It's just like, so things come, I just try and stay as busy as possible, so when things like that happen, it's like a little, and then it's just like, what's next?
Yeah, but like, do you get that from sort of, you know, you got a lot of people around you as well that have had such a large success, so, but see, are you just... saying, I mean, you've done plenty, in my opinion. I mean, you've done heaps. You're top, like, what was it? So top 10, no, 4 year time to actually say what you've done. There's Wax Awards, ARIA Charts, iTunes,
it's
top 10.
Man, like, it's also hard to take credit for something that comes with other people. Like, I did a song with a dude, Alex Jones from Melbourne, who it charted, the album charted in the ARIA Charts.
Yeah.
Top 10, not come like ninth or whatever it was. To me, I was a small part of it. Like, so I wouldn't go around. I wouldn't put it in my bio because it's not. I feel like I just helped him achieve it. It wasn't me sort of thing.
Still can't discredit your achievements.
No, no, not at all. But
that's
just
what a producer does, and they're part of it to make it. He wasn't going to get there without your help though, as well in that aspect. So
yeah, maybe it was just the right place, the right time. We ended up making something that people liked and did well. He's doing awesome on his own too.
So Alex Jones, you just heard that was?
Yes, Alex Jones. He's from a group called LGs. They have an album out. He's got a couple of free mixtapes that people can download.
Yeah,
he's in Melbourne. Yeah, he's doing good things.
So that's a hip hop guy as well, is it? Or is he, what's his?
Yeah, he's a hip hop dude, but he does a lot of grime, like the English style. I call it grime, like Skepta, Stormy, that sort of, the new school sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Come from the UK, he's big on that. Real diverse kid.
Yeah, so, hell yeah. Yeah. Nice to check it out. And what else are you working on? Are you working, are you doing your own stuff, or are you basically, you make a lot of beats and then you know, you put that out to people, and or you give it to people you feel that it's suited to?
Yeah, so I've been doing it for so long. I've got like a big network of people that I work with. So if I make something that screams out someone's style, I'll send it to them first.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just keep them in the vault, and when people inquire for their own projects, I say, send them 10 or 11 and say, Danny, these fit what you want.
Yeah. They pick.
If they say yeah, if they say no, I'll send another 10. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. So, you work, like say, working full time. To come home, like, how many hours are you putting in on this, like, to make it pick up?
It's a lot of time, but I just have to sacrifice. Like, I don't watch TV. Like, I don't watch fucking TV shows. Like, I've never seen Westwood or whatever it's called. Like,
yeah.
I just, my Netflix time is basically just me making beats or going to the gym.
When other people
are chilling out, I'm just doing, like, that is my sort of chill out as well. Like, I can sort of zone out.
That's the way it should be.
I played basketball with him, and I went to school with him and stuff, and he worked for a company, and I was working at a deli at the time, cutting up meat.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to change, like, I knew I wouldn't have to work weekends and could do some more creative stuff, so I gave that a shot, and still doing it. I think it's one of those crafts that are dying.
All those easy prints are...
Yeah, so like, I just really like the whole craft of it. When I travel, I'm always on the lookout. Like, I went to Melbourne, I was like, fuck, look at this sign, look at that sign. This looks, and a lot of things that most people don't care about, take for granted.
Yeah, sort
of
huge art side to it.
Yeah, and it's sort of heading back towards it as well. Like, I've noticed in places like Melbourne, it's a bit more hipstery. Yeah. They're going back. We're doing a lot more.
Hipsters are bringing
like neon signs, hand-painted signs, all that sort of coming back to like the hands-on.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff.
So you say neon signs, like, because I saw maybe a documentary about a guy that was making those signs and heating it up and molding it, and fucking hell, did that look difficult.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is that something you might have, like, have you?
I don't make the neon, but we do a lot of the installation and like a lot of, we'll get someone to do the heating and the bending, and then we'll take it from there and sort of make it into the sign. We do a lot of that sort of stuff these days.
Nice. Well, hopefully if the hipsters are behind it, that means more money will be poured into it.
Yes. And
when something gets picked up by the hipsters...
If Melbourne are onto it, that means in Adelaide, we'll, 5 years from now...
Years from now, they'll be fucking writing behind it. But the... So how long have you been... I mean, you've been around it forever. Like the hip hop
music stuff,
music stuff. So, like, what introduced you and got you into it? I mean, growing up, you obviously, I'd assume, had an interest. You hooked up with a lot of the Golden Era guys and stuff. Like,
became friends with a lot of. Yeah, I got into it through like older cousin, just listening to that sort of music.
Yeah.
I started listening to it. Thought I could probably do this.
Yeah.
I wrote some terrible. Terrible raps in my team. They're probably around somewhere.
Keep amazingly bad.
Terrible, yeah. As a lot of people, I think hip hop's one of those things that looks easy.
Yeah.
And then when you try it, it's not.
I love it, and I don't bother trying. I know that it's not my thing. I can't do it.
So it was just from there, just kept working at it on my own sort of thing.
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, wouldn't show a lot of people, kept working on it. Then I got introduced to the Australian scene, because I didn't listen to any Australian stuff whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, was it very big back when you first got into it? Like,
not really.
I never thought of it. It was always the American was what the interest was.
Yeah, so I got into it probably towards the end of primary schools. in Australia. There was people doing it. There have been people doing it since the 80s, but I had no like segue into that.
Yeah.
Some of the people doing it was almost like a bit like it's grating on the ear at first. I think a lot of people find that, but once you sort of warm up to it and you find people that are doing it well, it's sort of like, okay, people from here can do it and do it well. Yeah. That sort of changes the whole, like here in the hoods do it. It's like, okay, someone can do this properly and do it well and they're not compromising anything. And then that sort of like, okay, now I can sort of try and do this properly now.
Yeah.
Like as myself.
Well, they realistically put on the map. I mean, is there anyone else you'd sort of name that was doing it before they sort of come along? Who would they be looking up to on the local scene? Like yourself? First.
Well, for me, like they were quite big when I sort of, like, they weren't national, like the Nosebleed Section hadn't come out yet. I had their album A Matter of Time, but I got that after it had been out for a little while.
Yeah.
But I think if you ask them, I don't speak for them, but there's groups like, there's a group of Deathwish cast from Sydney who were like quite big in the scene. They like break dancing, graffiti, hip hop, AKA Brothers. Who else was coming around? Like, there's a guy called Prowler from Melbourne who I still rate as one of my favourite artists from Australia. There was definitely dudes doing it beforehand, but they were the first breakthrough.
It was.
Really? Like,
they got massive and put on the map. I still remember I went to shows and they're playing the Gov or the Unibar, and then all of a sudden it's now they're at the entertainment centre where
I was
in the middle of like big crowds and you couldn't even fucking breathe. Like, people were living it and getting that deep into it.
And it's awesome, like, having sort of met them through that and becoming quite good friends with them in that circle. Just seeing that, like, they deserve every bit of success they get. They haven't changed anything. Still super down-to-earth people, make music because they love it.
Yeah.
Just happen to make great music that everyone loves.
Yeah.
Which is different. There's other rappers around the place which have systematically tried to blow up, and it just sounds forced and it just doesn't work. It works for, like, a little bit and then see it.
Yeah.
I think they just found that groove where they've evolved with everyone, and like they've been around for so long now, like they've been like a huge group for like 10 years now, like
the hoods.
They
have, and they've created, they've brought people up, like for example K21. When I first started meeting you and hanging out, you were tied with him and doing a lot of work with him. So he blew up through then. He won a particular thing they put on, is that correct?
Yeah, he wanted they do a grant, so they give back.
Yeah,
I think when they were coming up they won a grant, which I don't know how much it was, but it sort of helped. The Hoods wanted a grant through like Music SA or Arts SA or some some entity, and so when they got big enough they matched it, so they're like,
that's awesome.
It's just getting bigger and bigger, and K won that. I don't know what year it was, but he was one of the winners of that.
Yeah,
and he sort of ran with it, and he's signed to their label now, and I think he's got an album coming out very soon, so that'll be pretty good.
He does, yeah. No, that's, I remember when he...
From all accounts, I think it's nearly ready to go, and...
Hell yeah.
Like, I know him quite well, and I know if he's finally ready to show the people, the hours been put in, and it's going to be super, super dope.
It seems like doing a lot. I remember when you were doing the Greenhouse, was it the Greenhouse?
Yeah.
I still remember that YouTube page. You had some wicked stuff coming out of that as well.
Yeah, we did, put out a compilation before he turned 18, actually. So he was 17 and we put out the Greenhouse album, which was all his production apart from a couple of tracks, and sort of like a compilation of our circle of friends at the time.
Yeah. So I thought you and him were together on that. It was the same.
I was on like four songs, but it was Kay's sort of vision and child.
Okay.
Yeah. He recorded it all. He did like 99% of the beats.
Yeah.
So
what are you working on at the moment? I mean, I was looking through. You do a lot of yours, as I can see. I've got this one here. But this is an older one of yours, obviously. Everyone can see that. But you do a lot on vinyl, and that's you won
a few
Wax Award for something you've won as well.
Yeah, that was mine.
So that's tied to that vinyl.
Different release. That was in 2010. It was like a 12-inch with four songs. It was like my first ever release.
Yeah, that. So this was. This was your first, or the one you won?
No. This wasn't that long ago.
No, that was.
This was maybe
5 years ago.
2013.
Yeah.
I want to see it. This is,
It's got the Aussie money on the other side here, like that. Dollar bills.
You can't buy that anymore. That's actually me and Kay rapping over a Suffer beat. Suffer from the Hilltop Woods produced that one.
Yeah, we got Kay. Yeah, Suffer, man. Yeah, but see, what you, I've seen online as well. Do you still sell those cassette tapes? I've seen your website.
No, I did a bunch of cassette tapes late last year, just for something different.
Just a fun, really. Yeah,
that's a cool thing. Guy from the States came to me. Guy from the US came to me with the idea. He's like, I want to put out a tape, half these songs, half your songs. You know, he goes, do I have your permission? I'm like, yeah, go for it. Send him the songs.
Yeah.
Press up the tapes and he sent me down a bunch.
That's wicked.
See, I've never listened to one because I don't have anything that plays cassettes.
I don't either, but you've want one. You want that old Gazette tape thing because that was like, yeah, that was a...
That's just another thing ticked off the list of CDs, digital, vinyl, cassettes, everything.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how quickly that's, you know, the way music is taken now? Vinyl, cassette, and then CD, just it keeps...
CD is like the last resort now. Like most bands or groups will just do like a limited vinyl run and then iTunes. Yeah. Like they just skip CDs completely.
It's all just digital now. And it's been such a quick progression. Like I remember, you know, when you had your Discman and Discman in your bag and you walk a little bit too fast and it skips. Fuck's sake. Now you have an iPod and you just fucking run.
And your entire collection's on it.
Exactly. It's the whole collection. It's crazy like that. And then you just have these stacks of CDs you can't part with because you fucking love them.
Mm.
Like I've got like the whole Rage Against the Machine collection. I'm not part with them, but I got it all on my computer.
I've actually just started selling off a little bit of my CD collection.
Yeah.
To other collectors that I know.
Okay.
People we'll put it in their collection and guys that I know that need it to complete a certain like artist's discography.
Yeah.
And I've got it because I've
used to buy everything. You dig deep for, don't you? Like, yeah. There's not too many releases. And
especially local stuff back at the time that I was sort of getting into it. Now, these days, I go fucking thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you do?
And like, you can never get them again because they'll never get pressed up again. They'll like... one step in an artist's journey that the artists themselves hate, but so if you weren't there at the time, you never got it, and I have a lot of it.
And how much would you get that? So you'd have a live show that had their basket of maybe 200.
Yeah, well, they used to be stores like Big Star Records, used to be big in South Australia.
Yeah.
B Sharp. There was Hugo's going off out there.
You're ruining shit, man. Shush. Can you not? Please, man. I gotta edit that out now. And I'm already bad enough for editing. Wait! Stop. Back to having odd track. Now I'm gonna edit that shit out. It'll be fucking hard enough. But.
So guys, you should sell them hand to hand, or certain stores, local stores would get them in.
Yeah.
There was no JB Hi-Fi at the time.
Yeah.
And Sanity was unless you were fucking Jay-Z, you weren't getting into Sanity.
Yeah.
It was a lot more of a close-knit community back then.
See, how quick has it fallen off as well? I mean, it used to be a Sanity everywhere. Now, even there, so minimal.
How the fuck do they even stay open?
I know. It's like, DVDs as well. Like,
two DVDs for 40. Who's buying two DVDs for $40 these days?
Like, fucking hell.
If I worked at a Sanity, I'd be nervous every day. That's
the last day. I'd be
sweating, selling my box set of the OC. Fucking 100 bucks.
He fucking really is. Netflix will upload a whole thing for fucking $9. You'll probably find the OC. A box set of the OC. But there's some old vinyl stores through the city. There's a handful.
Vinyl's getting bigger again. Especially now they have a thing called Record Store Day.
Okay.
Which is like an international day that everyone has like agreed upon. And bands release special editions of like an album or a single that never came out before.
Yeah.
And they only sell them through like these small record stores to try and get people in.
Is that a continuous same day, annually same day?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's...
I'll have to look.
It definitely happens every year. So that happens, but now there's talk that that's actually hurting the stores because everyone's waiting for record store day. They sell their stuff then and everyone comes in for one day and then no one buys records for the rest. Like, it's stopping people from releasing stuff all year round.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's like
cash comes in that one day. If you just average that out, it's terrible.
Yeah, so, like, it should be good if people who went there to buy these limited edition releases actually went back every month and bought a couple of things. But,
yeah.
And because vinyl was so limited, a lot of people buy them, shrink wrapped, put them on the shelf.
Yeah.
5 years later, chuck it on eBay. So, like, I had this master plan to get my production out when I first started doing it.
Yeah.
So every year, I'd release an album that's instrumentals with a few guest rappers from different parts of the world even, mostly Australian, but people from overseas, and I'd give that out for free.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a glorified business card.
Yeah, that's a good version.
And then So I press that up on CD, and anyone who ordered anything from my web store, old vinyl or put out some t-shirts, to just get a free CD. Yeah. And that was basically my foot in the door to get people know that I was making beats, because I started off rapping, and the beats came second, but they're sort of taken over now.
So you're doing more of the...
Way more.
The beat side.
Yeah, I rap maybe like one verse a year, if that.
Yeah.
Just have way more fun making beats.
Yeah.
I learned that for K, living with K21.
Yep.
I basically moved in with him, and he's always been a gun at it.
Yeah, so that's what really gave you the...
And as soon as I moved in, I took him to the shop, and I said, point out what I need to make things happen.
Yeah.
So he basically filled up the shopping cart with what I needed. I bought it, and then he tutored me for 6 months, and then, sort of taken off, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen your most recent verse, you were uploading a few on your Facebook recently, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the last time you'd done a bit of the rap and over. I mean, when was the last...
Oh, that video.
Yeah,
I did a video last year called The Rain, which was produced by a friend in Melbourne who passed away, but I had the beat from him before he passed away.
Yeah, I thought there was a deeper story to that one.
So I finished the song sort of to honour him, and so get as much of his music out into the world as possible.
No, that was awesome.
That was a long process. The song was probably 5 years old. I put it out last year, but a friend of mine, Discourse in Melbourne, who was a mutual friend, had to sort of dig through his computer and get all the parts to it so that we could make the song properly.
Yeah.
So it was a long process, and then I got another one of his good mates, who's a DJ, to do some scratching on it, so we sort of made it like a tribute to him in the end.
Yeah, gave it a bit of life as
well. Had a good reaction.
Yeah, I thought that was an awesome track, that one. So, deep and meaningful, but that was probably the last time you did a bit of the rapping on it, and now it's all produced. And...
Yeah, I've done verses here and there. I don't know if any of them will come out, but I haven't retired from vocals, but I just don't feel like I've got much to say, really. I'd rather leave it to people that fucking want to do it.
We'll see if something pops up, you might end up on
something. Yeah, every now and again I'll write something, or someone will ask me to do something and I'll do it.
It's funny you say you haven't got much to say, because every single time I post something online and it says Shane has commented on your post, it's cringy. I mean, you've become realistically a bit of an internet troll. Is that
some might call it a troll, others might call it
a
comedian.
It's definitely funny. I definitely look. So if I see you've commented, there's a handful of people that, if they've commented on it, I will look. So yeah, there's a few people floating around. You're one of them. I mean, I'll give props to people. If I see Sub Caruso's commented, I'm looking. At the moment, if Miles Simpson has commented, he's been razzing people pretty heavy.
Miles, big flat earther.
There's a bit... Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. I was going to drop the other. There's a fuckboy who comments on every single thing I write. Adam Jones, again, just to drop him on here, but every time. So you guys write that, but
and we're all friends. So I was like, it's just like how you shoot the shit with your mates, but we just do it.
So that's
anything. There's no safe place.
So you will give me whoever it is. You post something, you cock shit between friends. Are you going on to Vice News or something or other? Are you giving people on shit there as well? Are you actually trolling
them? Nah.
It's only between mates.
Only between mates. I don't troll through Facebook posts for fucking random people. I don't have time for it.
Yeah, that's getting busy. Well, don't tell your workplace that you're doing that. But
no, I never read YouTube comments. That's like, there's a special place in hell for people who comment on YouTube videos. I refuse to be a part of it.
Yeah, they definitely. Well, hopefully now that I'm uploading YouTube, I'll see what comes. I'll see if you boys can keep off of there, because...
Yeah, I don't even know my YouTube password, so it keeps me out of it.
That's probably a good way to do it. Yeah, I can't even remember any of my passwords, mate.
Everything's fucking
good. The judges looking. Right. So that was... We always do this thing, like open bets, who are misses. And now most people would do like, something sexual, so, whatever I can get out of this bet. But mine, I'm like, nah, how could I fuck with her? It's heavy, right? So she is terrible for those like superstitions. Or like, you know, like if you get out of the bed, you got to do left foot first. All that sort of crap, you know what I'm saying? So if I went to open bet, I got a book of superstitions and made her read that whole book. That's my bet win. So we'll consistently do crap like that, but... This one here, I hadn't seen Sons of Anarchy, and I only seen it the first time probably like 8 months ago. So I win that.
Condolences.
Hey?
Condolences.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I got into it, right? So I was like, just like minor event open bet going, I won. So I elected myself the president of the house, and obviously they got a gavel. So like, all right, I need a gavel. Get that much into it that I bought myself a motorbike that's downstairs, has like not been ridden since I fucking bought the thing. So I gavel a motorbike and then call myself the president of the house. That was my thing. So I never get to. Maybe I should kick off podcasts.
You should get a ladder and put it on the inside of the door so she has to walk down to get in the house.
Fucking well, if she's out for the day, I'm fucking go get my ladder 100%.
Or like adopt 30 black cats, put them in the house.
yeah, all that sort of shit. Anything to mess with someone, man. Well, back on that topic, maybe we should do a, now that you got the way it is, we're bringing it live, we should do a recap of Pride 2003 or something, I reckon.
That'd be good.
Maybe chat about the old fights, because they were fun today. I didn't say anything earlier when we were chatting about the fights today, but yeah, fucking Dan Hooker, that was a big fucking knockout. I mean, whether you're an older veteran, or whoever you did, you know, type of fucking strike like that, man. He's looking the goods. So that, and then that, Fuchenko, I've got to get it, Lop. What the fuck was his name?
Something Fuchenko?
Yeah, whatever the fuck his name was for that. Aussies look good today. Good. And then Mark Hunt capping off.
It was good. Watching the UFC these days is a lot different. Like, I don't know anyone like I used to. Like, I used to know every fighter, the personality, what they've done.
Yeah.
Watching now, like, a fresh mind. I'm not biased.
Yeah. Enjoy a bit more on that front, though, you reckon?
Yeah, you're not as invested, but you can, you know, or which can be good or bad. You just want to see two good guys fighting well, which can be good rather than like, I don't know, like we're talking before, like when Anderson Silva fights, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate being that invested in it. Like, yeah. Like, that doesn't bother me. It like has no impact on my life whatsoever. But
yeah,
just when you have those favorites, you never want to see him fall. Like.
Yeah, and Anderson was a tough one of a few of those. As I responded with mine was Aldo. So now we're going to deal with every fucking McGregor nut hugger going around. And they discredit everything these fuckers do.
Mm.
And you got to get
it. I remember the McGregor Aldo fight. Before that, McGregor was just starting his wave. And I was telling people, oh, this Aldo's good. You know, world champ for this many years, undefeated, WBC.
Yeah.
Killer. And then, he got knocked out in 3 seconds. And then I had people who have never watched UFC before McGregor.
Yeah.
Kind of like, see, told you so.
Yeah. Oh, fuck this. And it's like this. No, it's not the fucking
thing. I swear he's better than that.
It really does. But hey, it's because it's such a young sport, you're starting to see those peaks and declines now where obviously some people come and go, but the ones that really made a big name for himself, it is, because it is such a young sport, you know. Mm. So when there is guys like GSP though that stop on the top, you're probably going to get that now and then. Which, for example, like McGregor ever does fucking fight a man again, who knows? But you're seeing those peaks of those veterans, but some of the guys just won't go away. Like,
Arlovski still fighting?
And then they're putting me against, Francis, the big French dude. That's why the fuck match those dudes up with that? You know he's going to get knocked out. Like, I hate seeing matchups like that. Those young dudes.
Maybe that's like a punishment if, like, he's pissed down a lot off, he just, like, destroys your career with concussions and like brain damage.
Here's a contract for you. There's 9 fights long. You're fighting every fucking scrapper coming up. But they, who was the other person that they consistently just drag out? I mean, I don't know. Well, Randy Couture did mention once that he would like to see if the oldies are still fighting.
Like a Masters division.
Yeah, like a Masters division, which at the time I thought, nah, that's a bit whack. But it would be good because some of them that want to keep fighting, people do want to see. You want to see him fight competitively, not some just testosterone-fueled fucking 22-year-old that's throwing hands.
Yeah, like Silva can still obviously fight.
Yes.
But should he be fighting a 20-year-old athletic beast? Like, or should he be... If he's not a title contender, then maybe he should be in a division that's having fun fights that are more even.
And people want to see it.
Yeah.
And that they're just getting a name made off of them. It's like, cool, you beat this particular person. But with what time? That's like Derek Brunson today was talking about Anderson Silva now, but prime and prime.
Yeah.
Nowhere near it, but you can still talk.
It's 5 years down the track, the record books just say names they don't say.
Yeah, it does.
Anderson Silva asterisk was on decline. Yeah. Like, it just says it'd be Anderson Silva.
Exactly, and that's all that matters. These people, they're just picking up names, they have some big wins. So
it's just totally different now. Like when I started getting into it, I started maybe like 2008-ish, really watching it.
Yeah.
2009, started Jiu-Jitsu, 2011.
there was like one pay-per-view maybe 2 months, I reckon, at the time.
It was always pretty fucking quality. All the day.
Stacked.
Yeah.
So now there's just like some of this. There was a time there was two cards on the same day.
Yeah. Depending on what country it was in or whatever, you started at like 2 a.m.
Which is awesome because obviously the more people are doing it, which means better fights are going to come through.
Yeah.
More money in it. Rah, rah, rah. It's just different from a spectator's point of view.
There's so much, like I said, there's so much more to follow. But being that they're all given more opportunity, if you do break it down to, okay, so say every 2 months, there is just a big stack card. It's kind of like it used to be. So, but everyone's thriving to get on that big card.
Yeah,
they do a lot of freebies, which is great. You know, like today's card was free, and it was a fucking action-packed card.
And I see there was there's been an entity has registered for a license in Nevada, maybe. Dana White Tuesday Night Fight Contenders. It was like DWTFC.
Okay. Kind of like what he does on that, looking for
a fight. I think they're evolving, looking for a fight into an actual league, like a feeder league.
Yeah.
So cool. Rather than they might be scrapping, do they still do Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, there's one currently, yeah.
Okay, there might be.
That's a redemption one, but
See, that sort of runs course for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to have like a B league, like a minor league baseball. So they have like a minor league for fighting, then you get it. I guess the only problem there is if it still has something to do with the UFC, then people are already on contracts that they might not be able to get out of and then pursue Bellator or somewhere else. They might be like, okay, you can be in our feeder league, but if you make it, you fight for us, no matter what. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. If they did come across that next big thing,
yeah, they're stuck, then the UFC get the first dib at them, rather than then that would take out any competition these other organizations have.
Where so many people will sign that early contract and be like, awesome, this is the
foot. I mean, you can keep fighting in Kentucky on an amateur card for $200, or you can fight for us for like $1,000. And Dana White's watching you. Like, most people will do that straight away.
And if they, another thing that I'm noticing, I think it's become with the new owners, they're giving out interim belts like they're nothing. So if it was a feeder league, you could have it so they rise up, become the welterweight of that particular league's champion, not to fight the champion straight away, but just a good way of marketing someone as well.
Yeah.
Because they always discredit anyone's championships outside the UFC. It's always...
Yeah.
These days, since they bought the library for Strikeforce, Pride... Or that
they're not as bad on bragging on them.
They will give them props too. They'll be like, former Strikeforce so-and-so champion. Like,
they're including like Pride and Strikeforce stuff in the Hall of Fame now, I think.
They are, yeah. They just inducted Sakuraba, but that was more going off. He did have a fight or two at the UFC.
Yeah, that's
right. But he's definitely a prize.
Sakuraba's like my favourite of all time.
What a savage. The highlight they put together as well gave so much old flashbacks, like nostalgia on his old... Like, he was a fun
He's still fighting as well.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's sad to watch.
But the thing is, there you go, like a Masters League. It would be great to watch him fight some of the Masters as well these days, you know, so...
I mean, I wouldn't even mind if it was like people like him are fighting under a different rule set so they weren't getting their head smashed in.
Yeah.
Like maybe striking, like, and then when it hits the ground, it's grappling like some sort of thing to make it a bit safer for the older guys.
Yeah, because imagine, not only has he been around for 20 odd years fighting in the gym, the amount of, you just imagine the wear and tear that he would take, but.
Wars.
Fuck yeah, it would be, especially not those dudes from Brazil that just come to training and just fight each other. Like, it doesn't feel good.
So all the shooter box guys, like, you think they're like in their 40s, but they're like late 20s. they're that aged from all the hard training.
They really are. Like Shogun, he seems so old. He's not that old, man. He's only a few years older than us these days. Or am I getting that?
I think he's mid 30s.
Yeah,
I think
he's not that much older. Well, that Aldo right now is 30.
That's crazy.
That's insane. He's been around what feels like forever. And then, I guess he started when he was, 16. But 30 years old,
But then I guess you get to the point, if they're going to do, a Masters League, is it on fight time, experience, or age? Like, where do you...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, you could be, a 35-year-old that just started at 30 and still have a lot of Ks left.
Mm.
Or you could be someone like Aldo who's... fought the best of the best for the last 10 years.
Yeah, not some local hero that wants to make his name because he's 40 years old, but he's still fresh.
I guess you'd have to sort of work it out or maybe take it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, maybe they go, I don't know, it'll be a bit interesting to see. So, But then he might dig out some old dudes like Tank Abbott. But hey, fuck, I've watched Tank Abbott before every day of the week. Absolutely. Did you ever see that backyard brawl that he had? Probably surfaced like, it could be as long as 2 years ago now. I'd like to say a year. But he is just straight up in the backyard, like as ghetto as you can see.
Some
like,
Kimbo Slice shit.
It really was, yeah. And he just, I don't know, I feel like he might have won the fight. But it was just on grass, like grass.
Was he was the first guy to wear gloves, was he? Like, did he?
He did wear the gloves, didn't he? Like, it was very,
But they marketed him as, like, a pit fighter. Yeah. That was his bio, pit fighter.
Who was the first people to, like, because there was, optionally, people started wearing the gloves. It wasn't a rule set
for I think he might have been the first to wear those gloves, probably. People used to wear shoes.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, Hoist used to wear a gi.
Yep, Hoist McGee, Jim was in that one glove.
Which didn't work out so well.
Like, Mark Coleman always just rocked wrestling shoes, or Josh Barnett always had wrestling shoes. Why don't they go now with heel hooks and stuff, if people were using stuff like, I mean, today with Lewis, what the fuck's his name? I don't even know his first name now, who just fought Mark Hunt. He wouldn't have been throwing those big stupid punches that he was attempting at, because you would just blow your hand out. And Mark Hunt, you can noticeably see, he's setting it all up with those reaching lefts, and he's trying to clock you with
for a safety thing. They give you a pad for your hand, but you still get kicked in the head.
Mm.
Shinned in the head, elbowed in the head.
Yep.
So why wear a glove then?
That's a good point. Do you reckon eye pokes would increase or decrease if they took the gloves off?
In a John Jones fight? Or a...
no, excluding
all... They haven't changed the rules, have they? I don't keep up too much, but I think they have changed the rules about...
There was a bunch of... And then it's clashing at the moment with... I noticed one that's like whether they got their hands on the mat, but then there was...
They're trying to get old rules out and get new ones in, but it's sort of overlapping.
Yeah, depending on which... Because they're fighting so many different places, then they're not coinciding. I don't know. If they say this is how it's going to be... I just think fighters are going to abide by it, whether it's passing a commission or not, or there's confusion exactly what happened, you know, but yeah, it's definitely...
Well, no matter what happens, people are going to try and find the loopholes and stretch it to its ultimate, like, go right to the edge of the rules.
Yeah, they'll all try. People still grab the cage, and that's like day one, don't grab the cage. Everyone's still grabbing the fucking cage. But you know what was one of the funniest? It was UFC, I think it was the second event in Australia, so the second live one I went to.
Have you been to all of them?
Except the one in Adelaide here.
Oh, really?
I've been to every other one, I think, except there may have been like a second fight night that I missed. So I've been to all the others all around Australia. But there was one when Wanderlei fought Bisping. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was UFC 128. I don't know why it's in my head. I think that's what it was. But he hits him in the third round. And speaking of different rule sets, he's clocked him in muscle memory. He's going to soccer kick him. And you can noticeably, I picked up on it when I was there and I watched the replay. He was going to boot his head into the fucking stands. Like, but that, if you take out that confusion, like right now, when they're clashing on where the rule sets are in place, it's making fighters second thing. They shouldn't be doing that. I think the UFC should say, this is how we're going to go about it. And let the other leagues figure out what commission, like the smaller leagues. But if the UFC say, we change rules, this is what it is. Email goes out, you're fucking
mad. Yeah, so like 1st of January 2018,
everyone,
it all ticks over then. All the commissions are in on it, they'll know.
Exactly. If they're in contact with their fighters and then refresh their memory at the start of it, tell them at the start of the fight camp so they can practice shit in case they want to muck around with it.
Yeah.
Because like people that are putting their hand on the mat, I'm loving how they're getting wrenched up and then fucking knee.
Yeah.
I love that. Because if you're putting your hand, I mean, you can't speak for yourself, you haven't professionally fought, but. If you're putting your hands out of the mat and shit, just playing a whack game, like, I hope you get fucking knee in the head.
But Scoot.
Yeah.
So I love Ryan Holder.
See, I like what he brings to it. His style that he's bringing to the fights is it's confusion. And then you get Gray Maynard, who he fought recently.
Yeah, he didn't handle it well.
But he didn't handle it well, but he got outstruck. He got fucking head kicked over and over and over, and then out grappled, and he's still going to win. He's like, no, you just got fucked up in an awkward way. So you can be better.
Yeah, definitely. That's like the whole stand it up, get on the ground too much. It's like, no, if you can't get up yourself, then you're losing. Like, it's up to you to get up. If you want the fight standing, you need to get to your feet.
That's the thing. Stand them up. How about that guy learns a way to get up? Because it's fucking hard. If you can just hop up, everyone would.
Yeah.
It is not that hard. I think that's
so what then they should bring in a rule with people standing around doing this for 3 minutes. They should lay them down. Start as a guard drill.
Restart. Yeah, guard drilling. Passing drills. No, it's just people that had no knowledge on martial arts, or had clearly no martial arts experience. To just say stand up, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we'll wrap it up there.
Sure.
Anything you want to say? Anything you're plugging? What's next? Any shout outs?
Shout outs to everyone that we've met.
Everyone we've ever met.
I'll leave someone out for sure. But, my website, realism.com.au, links to the Instagram, Bandcamp, Twitter, all that. I plug everything as it comes, so I don't have a date. So I don't work for anyone, it's all me. I don't have deadlines, I just do it for how I want to do it. That's how I'm sort of finding a nice balance. Train when I want, make music when I want.
Yeah.
And I'm not tied to anything. Like, if I get 1 week, I want to train every day, I'll train every day. I want to make music every day, I'll make music every day. Like,
hell yeah. Gives an organic vibe to it.
Yeah, so when things might get close to a project, I'll start advertising it. Well, I've got a few things. Purpose, just signed to Golden Era.
Yeah.
And I've got some production on his debut album.
Nice.
Should be pretty big.
Do you have any idea when that might be dropping? Within a month or anything like that?
Not that soon, but it's close.
Yeah.
Going through that sort of channel. Obviously, there's more, could go through more hands and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Being the higher label, you mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. So I did say it'd be this year, but I couldn't tell you when. But with that coming, dude in Brisbane called Gaz Hazard's dropping an album. I've got 4 beats on that. He's like an old school Brizzy dude that's pretty well respected. There's probably more, but yeah, they're the 2 main ones I'm sort of focused on at the moment.
Yeah.
And then I've got my own thing. Every year I drop one of those instrumental tapes, so one of those will be coming again soon.
Nice. Love it.
Love it.
Appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks. Realism. So that's it. Realism.com.au, isn't it?
That's it.
You'll find it on the social media stuff.
Hasn't been updated for a while, but from there you can get to my other shit with an update every day.
Perfect. Things to download on there as well. And
yeah, it comes to stuff. If you go to the Bandcamp page, it's like 4 or 5 albums worth of stuff that people just have.
I'd love to stock up myself. We've got a bunch of your older stuff here, for example, but yeah,
we can
send it. Awesome, Riz. Cheers, man.